You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, we are live. It is Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. He's George Guajardo. We are two men who are the only people here at a River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. And oh man, we've got a big one here for you today. Following Senior Day, what a disappointing overtime loss. Miners have lost five in a row. And you know, I have a lot of thoughts to this game. Our telephone number, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off right away. It's 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number to get into the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and then 600ESPNElPaso.com. Twitter and our app are going crazy right now. We've got so many comments that have come our way already, and I get it, man. It's you know, it's vitriol that's across the fan base right now. Everybody's real upset. Everybody's frustrated. The Miners on a five-game losing streak, 3-8 over the last 11 games. It's been over a month since this team has not looked the same. They are 4-5 to close out their home Conference USA schedule, including losses like New Mexico State 85-57, Liberty 76-69. That game was in the balance within 5 minutes. And then Middle Tennessee today, 76-75 overtime win. The Miners led in this game for over 34 minutes. There were four lead changes in this game. One of the first lead changes happened, I would say, about 3, 4, or 5 minutes into the game, where the Miners took their first lead. They did not relinquish it the rest of the first half. All the way into the second half, they didn't relinquish that lead, you know, until the end of it. And Middle Tennessee sends this one to overtime. Miners were up 66-60 pretty much late in this game. And the Miners go on another scoring rut to close out regulation time. There was a 3.5-minute drought of no scoring for the Miners. And then Middle Tennessee closes it out on a run of their own, sends this one to overtime. And then in OT, it's back and forth as it gets. If you want to talk about that final possession, let's do it. You know, if you got a chance to see that one close, give us a call now. 915-505-6009, because we watched it on ESPN Plus from afar. We heard it on the broadcast right there. You know, it looked like the UTEP bench wanted a foul. It looked like Kevin Kalu went up and tried to, you know, make another basket like he did. You know, what a career day he had. 26 points, 9 rebounds in 33 minutes on Senior Day. It simply wasn't enough. And that's where we start today's show here on Minor Talk is, you know, if you put the game in the ref's hands at the end of the game, that's not how everybody's going to remember this game. People are going to remember this one as a loss. We judge this team on wins and losses, not Kevin Kalu's 26-point game, not the fact that they bounced back and they had good effort, 34 minutes plus with the lead. And not because Bynum has 16 points off the bench in this one. We don't judge this team based off that. George, we judge this team on wins and losses. And for this squad right here, they're just in a crazy funk. And I don't know how they snap out of it.
That's right, Adrian. Wins and losses. And right now, it's five straight losses, right? This is the worst rut that we've seen in a long time, I think, right here for this program. Yeah, and to your point, what snaps them out of it? Middle Tennessee came in here and shot horribly until they kind of caught heat there at the end, but still 8 for 37, 21.6 from three-point land for the Middle Tennessee team, and UTEP matching that, 21.7, right, 5 for 23. So I just don't know. We talked about it before, Minor Talk, right, that introspective view of those last few minutes. You highlighted 3.5 minutes of scoreless ball to close the game, which can't happen, but we've seen that all year. But we looked into it. It was five straight possessions where they didn't even get a free throw, a single point, five straight possessions. And we talked about it. One basket wins you the game there. And I just don't know. I don't know where to start with this team. Maybe, like Hunter said, when we saw them at the district, they're missing a killer instinct. But, yeah, I at this point, it's hard to see them coming out of this.
Yeah, I don't know how they do. They have to dig themselves out of it. They only have 1 week left in the regular season. And then after 1 week, you know, into the regular season is over, then it's the CUSA tournament and everything really matters. Joe Golding's squads at UTEP have only lost five in a row once. Other time, and that was the second year, which I thought that year they were, you know, bad at certain points, and they went on a 5-game losing streak that year from January 21st through February 9th. A 5-game losing streak is what this team is undergoing right now, and for how large the expectations were for, you know, the people out there who you know, wanted this squad to just do so well, you know, here with this team, and thought, hey, could this be the year? Could this finally be the time where the Miners kind of get over that proverbial hump and have success and go to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2010. I'm not saying those hopes are completely out of the picture, but those hopes have to be looking a lot. I guess that vision is blurry right now, you know, as far as trying to hope that this squad is going to make a crazy run in the tournament. I don't, maybe they still do. Maybe when it's all said and done, you know, this squad does make a huge run in the CUSA tournament and shocks people in Huntsville, Alabama. But right now, as it stands, the Miners just aren't getting it done. 17-12. They had a, you know, a 15-5 start. And I'm just really at a loss for words with this squad. George, if you don't win a game like tonight, what game do you win?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Adrian. How could you not come away with this? You talked about Thursday, right? It being a game in Western Kentucky, which you wanted to steal at home, which you don't ever want to steal games at home, right? You want to win those convincingly. I don't know, Adrian, what you dominate, not dominate, but you lead the game for 34 minutes, almost 35 minutes. You only have the game tied five times, a couple of a few lead changes, and you still walk away with the L. I don't know. I just really don't know. Kevin Kalu goes off, flowers to him, right? 26 points, 8 of 11. Great game. 10 for 11 from the free throw line. You might never see that again,
no,
right, from him.
No, I don't think you're ever going to see that one from him again. You're right. And he doesn't get it done.
Yeah, and so you squander all of that, and it's just a shame.
Yeah, and our telephone number, 915-505-6009. I completely understand here. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. Let's go to Twitter, where we've got a lot of people chiming in. Twitter and X here as we continue. This is coming in from UTEP News. More of a interesting question. Kind of off topic. He asked this about an hour ago. Can somebody explain to me why in the hell the CUSA championship is in Huntsville, Alabama? Also, can somebody please explain to me why the CUSA championship hasn't been held at the Don Haskins Center since 2010? Yes, I can explain this, UTEP News, my good friend. The tournament is held in Huntsville, Alabama, because recently it was held at the Star in Frisco, and that's where CUSA was headquartered, actually. So when all these you know, conference affiliates like North Texas, you know, even SMU, you could look all the way back to them, Rice, and all the other schools in Texas like UTSA, they left Conference USA. Didn't really make sense to still hold their offices in Frisco and still hold the tournament in Frisco when no real conference affiliates actually played in the Metroplex area. So instead of playing at the Star in Frisco, which, by the way, UTEP News, that was terrible. I mean, the steel curtain, there was literally, it was a big practice football facility, and there was a steel curtain that was right in the middle separating two games that would go on simultaneously. And meanwhile, the makeshift stands that were on both sides. So that was the reality that UTEP had in Frisco. And I thought to myself, well, how could it get any worse? There's no way it could get any worse. The only thing that's awful about Huntsville, Alabama, is its proximity to El Paso. It creates a disadvantage for UTEP fans to try to make it out there to the CUSA championship games because Huntsville, Alabama is simply, you know, not as easy to get to compared to like Dallas, you know, where you could just go on a quick nonstop flight and be good to go for that CUSA tournament. But nonetheless, that, you know, it was up for bid, and the city that bids the most money on the CUSA tournament ends up getting it. Well, Huntsville, Alabama, they were the only ones who did, basically. And I guess there were a couple, that's probably unfair of me to say, but there were probably some other ones who also bid for it. And it was only for 2 years, last year and this year. So a 2-year deal for Huntsville, Alabama to host the CUSA championships. I just don't even understand it, period. Like, why do you do this? But that's the situation right there, UTEP News. And as far as the Mountain West goes, don't worry, it's in Las Vegas. So much better than Huntsville, Alabama. This is coming in from Shannon. Kevin Kalu can't stay one more year, crying face. Hashtag minor talk. Daniel, amazing that UTEP couldn't get it done even with a large lead in this game. I think they can use upgrades at the forward spot. And yes, there are better players out there than Otis Frazier. The guard play is good, but the overall play from the bigs is so awful. Overall, they're not good enough. This is coming up from UTEP News. Horribly drawn last play by Joe Golding, as always. Hell of a game by Kalu. Best in his minor career. Great job, big fella. The team just is depressing, man. There needs to be a change. When we're one and done in the CUSA tournament, center better get to work. Hashtag minor talk. Oh, man, that's coming in from UTEP News. Let's get more tweets coming in here on the show as we continue. 915-505-6009. Pick my axe, 915. It's time to move on from Golding, moving pieces every year, but the same issues every year. Common denominator is Golding next season will be a rebuild, and Golding shouldn't be leading that. This is coming in. We got a lot of other comments coming in. By the way, real upset fans today. Cesar Esparza, this UTEP team has regressed. Sad UTEP fans, so fire Golding? Blake, only brainlets would want Golding fired after a game like this. And then this is coming in from Oscar at Oscar in the 915. Worst officiated game of the season. Would you agree or disagree there, George?
It was pretty bad. I wouldn't say the worst. We've seen worse from these CUSA officials. I think they missed that maybe that Bynum foul when he got the rebound right, although the arm did look a little high. The Lands foul right before the last play in overtime was really soft. And, yeah, the Kalu no call, we talked about it. It's probably best a no call, right? Let him play. Definitely not the worst I've seen this year, but still bad.
Yeah, still bad. Hey, by the way, good crowd. I mean, it was scattered. It was late arriving. I know the Monster Jam traffic probably got a lot of people, but 5,854 fans out at the Haskins Center today for Senior Day. So I thought that was a, you know, for the $9.15 promotion, fans did their job of showing up. Again, once again, it's the fans who buy into this UTEP squad right here, and they feel, you know, a little let down after a loss like this. A couple other tweets to get to, and then we'll continue with some other storylines here on the program. 915-505-6009, our telephone number. This is coming in from Chi-Town Minor. Don't worry, Adrian brought us. Monty the pup is doing just fine, and she's ready for March. I love it. Monty looks great. I don't know if that's a she or a he, but love your pup there, Chi-Town Minor. Thank you for the pick. This is JK. There's no reason to show up for this team. Let all the fans down this entire season. This is coming in from Daniel Gonzalez. Five possessions to end the game, and UTEP was unable to do anything. Sad UTEP fan. They are shooting long 30%, and they come back. If UTEP loses this, can you please admit that Golding is not the coach? That was during the game, by the way. Unruly plebeian. I don't know who it'll be, but UTEP has no chance to make this final basket. They are dead set to lose this game in spectacular fashion. Well, you're probably right there, man. This is Flash Action 60. Damn, Kalu played his butt off. Poncho, Miners had a chance to win it and blew it at the end. Maybe one day they can play well the entire game. Golden got outcoached again. This is Daniel Gonzalez. The answer was no one got a shot off. This is the first time I've ever had season tickets, and I want to vomit after this inning. Can we say seven in a row losses to finish the season? Man, yeah. Chris said, some guy, Chris, I thought it was a fair no call at the end. I thought it should have been David Terrell or Otis driving to the basket, but shrug emoji. What do you think about the final play? All right. A lot was said from it here. Let's hear from head coach Joe Golding. This was his comments on the final play to voice of the Miners, John Teicher. Let's hear these comments from earlier.
The guy guarding DT fell down, and, you know, 44 picks him up. He makes the right read. He throws it to Kevin, and Kevin gets it up. And, again, I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, but, again, we
All right, so now the Miners head out onto the road. Two next week, Sam Houston on Thursday, Louisiana Tech on Saturday. And if nothing else, should go a long ways getting you prepared for the following week in Huntsville at the Conference USA Tournament.
Yeah, we've got two more opportunities, obviously, to go out and compete and continue to out, and that's all you can do, you know. I mean, there ain't no way in hell I'm going to quit on this team, right? They've been resilient all year. They're a tough group, and, you know, it just obviously tough times right now, but hard pill swab. That locker room's defeated right now. We got a lot of work to do over the next 3 or 4 days, you know, with them and get them back and get them ready to go.
Revealing comments right there from head coach Joe Golding, and it sounds deflated. They just sound deflated by the end. Coaching staff thought it looked like maybe a foul. He said that he'll go check it out. He'll see it at the end. Some of our listeners have chimed in saying that it was a foul. Some are saying no, it wasn't. I think it's just hard to leave it up to the refs at the end. It's CUSA. It's Conference USA refs. You really want to leave the game in the hands of CUSA refs? They're the worst refs you're going to find.
Yeah, Adrian, I couldn't have said it better. How many times was the game in UTEP's hands, though, right? So many times that they could have put this game away when they were up 10, when they were up 9 in the second half, when they were up 4 with 6, I'm sorry, up 6 with, you know, 3.5 minutes to go. That game could have been over, and they invented a way to lose. As for that final play, I've got to look at it again. I don't know if David Terrell makes the right read there. He should have had, it should have been him. Frazier, I think, maybe even Bynum taking that last shot, because you're still going to get that rotation when you pass to Kalu. And I know he's had a great game, but are you really drawing up that play for him? It didn't seem like it, so I don't know.
Yeah, Sal Montes, who, by the way, he'll be back in action soon enough. He was not able to go today, and we feel for Sal Montes. But he's fine. He's going to be back in action next week. He just didn't feel that great today. He said, I tuned in at bits and pieces and saw David Terrell Jr. and Frazier clank a bunch of shots or free throws. 8 points, 8-point lead with 4 minutes left. 6 points with like 2 minutes left. Such a sad way to end senior day. Terrell could be him, but he's not him at the moment. And that was from Sal Montes. And he also said that David's got to take matters into his own hands and own it. It's like he thinks too much at times. The last shot should never go to Kalu. That's from Sal Montes. There's two arguments to this, George. I'm not going to discredit either of them. One side is you never give it to Kalu in a late game situation, and there's other options to close out a game for the final bucket, right? That's one side of the coin. The other side to it is if Kalu's playing the best game of his entire career, 26 points up until that point, he was 8 for 10 from the field, would you feed him for that last bucket? The reason why David Terrell, you just rewatch it. I rewatched it like 5 times already, but you rewatch it, and David Terrell Jr., the only reason he looks over to his left, he was looking initially to Otis Frazier III on his right to outlet pass and allow Frazier III just to attack the rim and get, you know, the best look he could, but instead, DT's defender falls on the pick and roll. Kalu is wide open in DT's eyes. Did David Terrell lead him a little bit further than he should have? Maybe, but I still put that on Kalu to gather the ball, step up, and then hit the shot. Kalu, it took him just a quick second. I think the pass came a little hot for him. It maybe caught him off a little bit off guard. He ends up gathering the ball. He goes up with it, and then the time expires. So as he's going up with it, that's the play right there. The play is done when he goes up with it. So in my opinion, if you're that late game score right there, you're just trying to get the best look you can and not really try to chase the foul. And I don't think he was trying to chase the foul. It just happened that way, you know, for Kevin Kalou. So I feel for this squad right here because I know how badly they needed a win. But at the same time, George, you know that you've got to close out these games when you have a big lead. It should not have gone down to the last bucket. That makes me worried for the future, including the CUSA tournament, final bucket scorers, and late game situations for the squad.
Yeah, absolutely, Adrian. I think a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, you had options, right? We could ask this question, who are you going to? And you could be like, man, we got Camper, Frazier, Barnes, right? Could nail a basket. And now there's no answer, right, to that question. As for that final play, yeah, the defender falls down. Terrell leads him too much, but still, you got to think about it. How much time was left? 5 seconds? And you're still asking Kalou to pull up from around the elbow or the free throw line. And I just don't think that that's the best shot. I still think that, yeah, Terrell's defender falls, then you get a mid-range shot. You know what I mean? Or pull up from the three. You're in a better position, I think, to make a game-winning basket than to ask Kevin Kalou, who, yes, he played the game of his life, but to ask him to make like a foul extended jumper with time winding down.
Yeah, that's maybe too much to ask. A couple other tweets to get to here on the program. 915-505-6009. Let's see if you can do it again, George. Let's see if you can do that like you did last time. You just throw it there and then one more time on the hold button. Yeah, there we go. Two-man group. We're playing that two-man action. It was like the Devin Barnes, Kevin Kalou last Thursday. But this is coming in from Steve. That's why you never leave it up to the refs. Game should never have went to overtime up six points with 2 minutes and all the momentum. Missing that clutch gene so bad. What do you think there?
Yeah, I mean, clutch gene, killer instinct, right? Put this team away. How many opportunities did they have at the end of the stretch there? I mean, we talked about it earlier, right? Up 10 at some point. I think it was the first half. I'll have to go back and check. Up 9, certainly in the second half. Up 6 with 3.5 minutes to go. You got to be able to put this game away.
Diego Mendoza, can't believe they had a 10-point lead with less than 7 minutes and still lose. The standard 4 years is that in any home conference game, it's a coin toss, and any road win is a miracle. Ooh, man. Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one. Isao Hermosillo, Doge needs to come in here and audit this program. Don't they have the highest payroll in CUSA? No, I don't. Well, wait. Actually, as far as coaching payroll, I got to go and double check. But as far as NIL payroll, no, they don't. Hermosillo, they do not. Liberty would take the crown there. Let's go to the phones right now. Hector from the Upper Valley is joining us next. 915-505-6009 to get into Minor Talk. We'll get to our hot hand of the game later on in the show, presented by Wind Supply El Paso. Kind of easy to see where we're going to go there. But we are presented by Jack in the Box. And back to the phones we go. 915-505-6009. Hector, thanks for giving us a call this afternoon. What's going on?
You know, I watched the game the other night, both games today and the other night, and they kept showing, you know, the jerseys of Hardaway, Archibald, and Ladin. You know, that's what this program is. You know, that's how it's been presented to El Paso. We're used to following strong teams, and this team, man, I just don't get it. Terrell can't make a free throw. Barnes, I mean, I don't even know what Barnes is doing in there. Everything he shoots, it hits off the rim. You know, but the worst part is the coach. I remember Tim Floyd and Don Haskins. After a timeout, they would run set plays, and they were brilliant plays. Our last play was a joke today. And look where we're at now. 5 losses going into the last week. And I don't see how this team is going to recover, man. I mean, Kalou, we lost a great effort from that kid. You know, I'm pretty sure he was playing for his mom who was there. But I don't see what's going to happen going forward, man, in the tournament.
Real quick, Hector, it's interesting. Kalou's been here for 4 years, which is crazy. Like now in today's 2025 world of college basketball. By the way, Blue Raiders have a guy who's been there for all 4 years too, Cameron Weston. So he's also been there with them for 4 seasons. But Kalou's mom has never watched him play in El Paso at UTEP. And so in front of his mom, he throws out his career best performance. You know, when he hit 16 points, I was like, all right, that's good. That's pretty solid right there. 26 to close it out with 9 rebounds. That was, you know, a lot of effort right there from Kalu. He really wanted it. He was playing with a ton of emotion in that game. And his stepdad was there. His mom was there. And they just couldn't get it done, man. So, yeah, I feel for Kalu. I've been hard on Kalu his entire career here. But I think, you know, I'm going to wrap it up by saying that he was definitely underappreciated by the masses. And his final year here, this final stretch, has definitely been his best basketball.
I agree. You know, and going forward, man, you got to go with Terrell, Camper, Bynum, rotate the bigs, you know, but Kalu in there, and then Frazier. And let's just roll with that. But you got to bench those other guys, man. And Barnes, the other senior today. I mean, you know, if we're going to win, man, we're going to win with like 7 players and that's it.
Yeah, I think they really do have to shorten their rotation. I agree with that completely. I was saying that earlier this week on the show on Sports Talk, but I think now after watching this week, last week and everything, I know some guys might get their feelings hurt, but there's already guys who are getting DNPs. They're not playing anymore. So totally agree there, yeah. Hector. I appreciate your phone call, man. Any final thoughts before we let you go?
I'm a minor for life. I still think they can make some noise in the tournament, so let's see what happens in two weeks.
Let's see what happens, man. I appreciate you giving us a call, Hector. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. If you want to follow that call up, 600 ESPN, I'll pass on Twitter next. A lot of tweets to get to now. Tristan Pence. The Miners have the talent to compete for a CUSA tournament championship. However, with Joe Golding managing the games, I have little faith in the Miners making a run. UTEP has the worst bench coaching in the conference. It's a shame to see this team struggling. Matthew Castro, do Jim Center and Heather Wilson listen in on what the diehards have to say over Miner talk? Does the university ever try to limit what's said on your all's behalf? The answer is probably no to both. No, and actually, not probably on the second one. Definitely no to that one. So I appreciate you asking, though, Matthew Castro. That's a funny one. That made me chuckle a little bit. This is coming in from our pal Manny David. Another loss at home, still hoping that they can split the next two on the road. A road sweep would be better. Still on board with Golding. I'll be back in the Don next season, but looking forward to when we finally join the Mountain West. Hashtag Miner Talk. Tyler Wilson, this just makes UTEP all the more disappointing. Plenty of talent to have success, and yet nothing to show for it over 14 years. One day this curse will break. Hope it's soon. Maybe in the Mountain West we'll stir the bar juju that has surrounded UTEP athletics for over a decade. What do you think about that one, George?
Yeah, we've been talking about that, right? The institutional issues that have sort of really compiled over the years. It's been, what, 14, 15 years now? And yeah, who would have thought that we'd be losing the teams like Middle Tennessee State, Kennesaw State, right? And it's not so much the names that matter. It's the fact that we still have talent here. And that we keep finding ways to lose and still not make the tournament.
I hate the wheeze. Let's keep it going on the phones. 915-505-6009. Victor's next with us. Victor, what's up, man?
Hey, you know what? Early in the game, the Miners had the two bigs in there. Wait.
Let's clarify this. They had Jones and Hamilton in, which they've had earlier this year. So they didn't have Kalu and Jones or Kalu and Hamilton on the floor together.
No, they didn't. They didn't. But they looked better because they had bigs in there. We have such a small team. I understand that we do the defensive thing, and that's why we get the steals. But we struggle against all the teams because everybody has two bigs, three bigs in there that are 6'9" or taller. And it worked well early on. And I don't know why Jones seems to have a pretty decent outside shot. I'm not saying that we're going to go to him to the outside, but at least if he's open, he's an option. Kalu, yeah, he had a great game today, but if it's not a layup or a dunk, you know, we can't really count on him to shoot any other shots. But he didn't, and it went well, but he didn't play. He didn't play the two bigs again. You know, I mean, put Jones in there and Kalu together. Put, you know, Kalu with Hamilton. Just try it. Try something. Because, I mean, we don't have a set five that really have a good flow.
What do you think about shortening the lineup a little bit instead of going that route that you're saying? Because I hear what you're saying. It's like, try something that'll work. If you're not going to, you know, if things aren't working, try new things. But what would you say to that if they just shortened the bench instead?
You're playing back-to-back-to-back games if you're winning. And now that's where the bench comes in. That's where you need the bench. And you need the teams that advance are the teams that have – that go 9, 10 deep. Then you're going to six, you know, rotating with six, you know, six guys. And if you win two games, then game three, they don't have a lot of legs.
Sure.
So that's tough at this time of the year.
Victor, I appreciate your phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. I think you're onto something as far as just it just not being really right now here for the squad and them just needing to mix it up. Try new things. You know, that's the other call, man. Thank you for weighing in. 915-505-6009, our telephone number if you want to follow up Victor and Hector. XMod V3, Golding needs to go after this season and UTEP needs to hire a new coach and give him an opportunity to get us ready for the Mountain West. Golding does not have his players ready, and it's costing the university fan revenue. Time for a change. By the way, XMod V3, good crowd today. So I'll just say that right there. It was a solid crowd here for UTEP. As far as, you know, 5,800 people showing up on senior day. Hard to get people there Saturdays, but as far as fans showing up, they kind of did today. Tyler, another one from Tyler Wilson. This just makes UTEP all the more disappointing. Plenty of talent to have success, and yet nothing to show for it over 14 years. Oh, man. Yeah, tough one right there. A couple other thoughts to get to here on the program. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, 600 ESPN El Paso.com, and then 600 ESPN El Paso on our mobile app, where you could check us out for free and also chat with us in real time. Daniel, actually, I already read that one. This is Brian. Was going to call in, but I'm feeling under the weather. Embarrassing that we blew the lead, even with a stellar performance from guys like Kalu. Say goodbye to that 20-win season. What a collapse. These guys better lock in soon, or we're going to find ourselves stuck in purgatory. Coming in from Brian. This is coming in from delusional Cade McConnell fan. Still can't believe this is a burner. A real burner, by the way. Bad, bad, bad. These guys let me down yet again. I better see improvement in the tourney or I'm going to lose it. Golding is garbage. The ACU experience was not worth jack since it has been constant. Don Haskins. Oh man, this is. I'm just gonna stop there. Yeah. Wow. Just real frustrated fans. I mean, that's simply what I can say right here after this matchup right here between the Miners and Middle Tennessee, George. I don't blame them, man. I mean, UTEP led for 34 minutes. You got to win the game.
Yeah, you got to win the game. It is frustrating, and not everybody, but most of the people are rallying to still call for Golding's head, and I'm still not on board yet. We will, like you say, we'll have to see what happens in this CUSA tournament, but yeah, right now it's hard to see them being able to regroup here. So I'd say just get healthy, try some of these new lineups, like you said, shorten the bench, and get more efficient.
This is coming in from Ruben at Rutang. It's March 1st, and the UTEP men's basketball team has 3 games left in the season, and it will be over. Ending it on an 8-game losing streak. How sad. Picks what? Shoulda, coulda. Man. Oh, man, that's a tough one. So he's saying that they're going to lose the next 2 and then be a one and done in the CUSA tournament, that first week or the second week of March, I should say. Right now, as it stands, the Miners are in 7th place in the conference. They are 7-9 right now in CUSA. They're 17-12 overall. They're projected to finish 8-10. So the Miners are projected to win one of their final 2 games to close out the year. I don't know which one it is, whether it's Sam Houston State or La Tech, but you know, both of those games are on deck next week. I've got them losing both on the road. I don't know how they win either of those games. Maybe they win the Sam Houston game, but I still find it hard to see if that would be the case. If the Miners are indeed a seventh seed, they would play the 10th seed, which would be Florida International, and the winner of that one would end up playing, I believe it's Liberty, which would be the top overall seed. Obviously, we're going to wait to see how this all shakes out, especially with the standings. But yeah, as it stands right now, I don't know how UTEP surpasses the likes of Western Kentucky, the likes of La Tech in the standings. Western Kentucky closes out the year. They're actually on the ropes right now. They're probably going to lose to New Mexico State here when it's all said and done. That one's at the half, and the Aggies have a 14-point lead, 34-20. But, you know, Western Kentucky already has the tiebreaker over UTEP. They play Florida International at home next week in Liberty, so I expect them to at least split that week next week. And then as far as some of those other teams like La Tech, maybe – George, maybe that's where UTEP can get a game ahead if they're able to somehow beat La Tech next week.
That was the last time UTEP looked like itself, right? Against La Tech, against Sam Houston. But even then, you could see some of these problems creeping up. They failed to, like, blow out La Tech by,
yes,
you know what I mean? And then they let Sam Houston kind of hang around till the very end. They couldn't even get their bench players into the game because they let them go on a run there. Still won those games convincingly, but you saw some of the issues creep up there then.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I mean, maybe it's also matchup-based. And there's going to be people who are going to call in or also still on social media thinking, okay, look, this is a competitive conference. There's a lot of parity top to bottom. And when they go into the CUSA tournament, it's anybody's tournament when it's all said and done. To that point, I'll just say, how are you banking on a program who hasn't really had that same swagger, same momentum over the last month? And it hasn't really been a month. It's been over a month now. It's been about a month and maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month and a week or so as it stands. So 915-505-6009. Next up is Cedric with us. Cedric, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. How are you?
You know what? I was so proud of those guys today. I know we came up short at the end, but what a game. And you can see the difference when we shoot, when we don't shoot 17 or 20% from the field. What a difference. Just came up short at the end. I don't think we got that call at the end, but I think I feel good about that Conference USA tournament after these last two games on the road. What do you guys think?
You feel good?
Absolutely. Did you see the way that they played? I think those boys came out strong.
Did
they
you see
really
how
hard.
The shoulders were slumped at the end, Cedric? I get what you're saying as far as a moral victory and a bounce back, but at the it's all about how you close off. And we only judge these teams on wins and losses, not on effort, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a good point, but I feel positive. I think that these boys are going to do well in that Conference USA tournament. We're going to win these two games on the road. And we're going to win that Conference USA tournament. You're going to think, God, remember if Cedric called and he said it?
And you're going That's right.
We need Cedric to call back in because he called it.
Okay. Cedric, I need you to call me whenever this run ends, whether it's the NCAA tournament, the CUSA tournament, or whatever. So I need you to call us back, either eat your words or back your words, and we'll give you props, okay? So you're the one. While all the doubters are out there, you're going to be the one pushing P, pushing positivity.
Thanks, bud. Hey, shout out to Lisa White. I love that lady. And go Miners.
All right, good stuff there, Cedric, as we continue. Jason Craig, our pal, checking in on our free mobile app. Just SMH. That's coming in from Jason Craig. Appreciate you listening, Jason. Thank you for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009 as we wrap things up and wind things down here on the program. Our Win Supply El Paso hot hand of the game. It's no question. Kevin Kalu, 26 points, 8 for 10 from the floor today. But this is the one I love. 10 for 11 from the free throw line. Shout out to Joe Rod. I never thought this would happen right there from Kevin Kalu in a single game, but it indeed happened. 9 rebounds in this game as well in 33 minutes of action. The first time his parents come watch him playing the game here in El Paso, and they were treated to his career best. I have never seen Kevin Kalu play a better game for the Miners, and it's unfortunate that we remember this one as, you know, him taking the last shot, because I feel like just, you know, that just shouldn't have happened when it was all said and done, and it just ended up happening the way it did. But that doesn't take away for the senior day performance we saw from Kalu. And I thought, no doubt about it, he is our Win Supply El Paso hot hand of the game today, George.
Yeah, and well-deserved, right? He came out and played with some fire, some emotion, as you said. Those dunks were thunderous. And although, yeah, we're going to remember this game for, you know, what could have been with this OT loss. I'm going to remember it for, yeah, the 10 for 11 from the free throw line, and he nailed it when they were clutch and they mattered. So, Kevin Kalu, here are your flowers.
And give him all the flowers that he deserves, man. I was hard on him. I'm not going to say we. I was hard on him. I was one of those people who definitely had my doubts about, you know, Otis, you know, somebody like Kevin Kalu, but he really proved me wrong in what he was able to do. So good stuff by Kevin Kalu here on the program. George, give me some of your final thoughts here as we look to next week. It's a 2-game road stretch for the Miners, Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky.
Yeah, I think this team just has to hit the reset button, win or lose these next 2 games. They've got to come into that CUSA tournament with some swagger and at least feeling better about themselves, right? I'm definitely all for shortening the bench. And again, I hate to pick on a man because I've been doing it all year, but Devin Barnes, it might be time to just cut those minutes, right? Derek Hamilton, it might be time to just say, okay, son, grab some pine. Everybody else, bring that energy and start trying to figure a way to win these games instead of losing them.
Okay, good thoughts there. Let's close out the show today with our co-host of Miner Talk. It's Sal Montes, who's calling in here on the program. We're so excited to hear from Sal. Sal, what was more sickening, you on Thursday or UTEP's performance Thursday night against Western Kentucky?
I'm not going to lie to you because I don't know how... I'll say this. I didn't even watch the game. I don't know the stats, but I can guarantee you I threw up more times than they had missed free throws. So I'll say that.
Oh man, I love it, Sal. I love it.
Oh man, and it was funny, man, because today, you know, I started making some chicken soup and stuff, and I'm cutting up the onions. And my Salma, my wife, she comes in the kitchen. She's like, "Are you watching the UTEP game? Why are you crying?"
Oh man. Nah, man, very, very good. Very good stuff all around. I can't believe that's great.
But I mean, it all depends. I mean, how you want to look at it. I think this team has been in a position like that enough to have learned how to overcome it. I think it may just be a point now, like, can they overcome it? And they may. If they do, they're probably going to get lucky, man. Like, we just got to be real about it. Their best conference win is what, Liberty?
Yeah.
And they lucked out with a possession at the end. So, and it was also one of their worst losses when they took on Liberty, too. So I think UTEP can skate by some teams in the conference tournament. And I mean this with all due respect, but I promise it makes sense. UTEP is going to have to hope that the other team plays like UTEP normally does if they want to come away with the win. Because when it comes to a game plan and things like that, things just stray away from it. And they can't seem to ride it out. And today, you know, it was in their favor majority of the game, but when it mattered the most, Middle Tennessee, who's a more battle tested team, they held it together. I mean, they didn't get the lead until the final you know, what was it, overtime, I think, or something like that.
That's right.
For a good part of the game. So I mean, man, that's a tough one for the Miners. It's just how many times can you learn the tough lesson, you know? So we'll see, man. I mean, we say all this now. Who knows? They could catch fire in the tournament and we look dumb. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I'd rather, though, look dumb in the tournament and actually say something like that and stand on the take that I've really disliked their last month, man. Their last month, to me, is almost inexcusable for the expectations that were set on this team before the season started.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we're being honest, this is the best team that Coach Golding has assembled. I'm not going to count the first year. I mean, yeah, you re-recruit guys to join, I know, a la Sule Boom and others, but this is his first true team, you know, under Golding. And, you know, that's what you got to kind of hang the hat on, is like, this is the first true test in terms of grading him, you know? So we'll see what happens.
Everybody back. You're exactly right, man. You're 100% right. Sal, we'll see you next week, man. Great to hear from you on the phone. So wrap it up here on the show with us. Thank you so much, man.
Love you guys, man. Take care.
All right, that's Sal Montes joining us here on the show as we continue. Milkman's going to join us next. Milkman, you go right on ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Hey, what's up, guys? Pretty rough, huh? Pretty rough.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, I mean, what more can you say? It's, you know, it's been a really rough, you know, month or so. A team that's going back to, you know, do something in the tournament is not usually fading like this at the end. But, you know, I guess anything's possible. But, man, they looked like world beaters a little while ago. And, I mean, it seems like it was just last month. Oh, yeah, it was. But, yeah, I mean, I haven't been pleased with much of anything I've seen recently. I mean, it's just been bad. Even when they're playing with the lead, it's like, you know, they're going to surrender it. I don't get it. You know, I don't understand. I mean, I know people are calling for Coach Golding's head, and I think, you know, I heard you guys saying, well, you know, let's see how they do in the tournament. And I'm kind of that way. You know, I mean, it's certainly that the season isn't over, especially since you have a tournament where if you can win it, you know, you can go to the NCAA. But God, this is just so disheartening. I mean, I will say we had a good day. You know, they honored my dad with the veteran thing in the second half. So that was good. You know, it was a good day.
Nice. That's awesome. Shout out to Carl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was good. You know, that was fun. But man, I wish we could have gotten him a win, you know?
Yeah, man, I hear you. I'm sorry, Milkman. I appreciate you as always, man, giving us a call. It's been a tough stretch. What do you think about next week? Do you think they have any chance?
Well, I mean, I guess I would have said yes. They certainly got a chance before, but I mean, God, they played. Y'all were saying they played with the lead like over 34 minutes in a 45-minute game. I mean, God, if you have the lead that long and you're still relinquishing these leads, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's a long way to say, from what I've seen, probably not. But if they have any hope of, you know, coming back and making a run in the tournament, they certainly better figure out what they're doing wrong, because, you know, other than that, the season's over.
Appreciate it, Milkman. As always, thank you for weighing in on the show. 915-505-6009 as we wind things up. Appreciate George Wajardo, though, as always, helping out today on the broadcast and also helping out at the District West. By the way, if you are going out to Monster Jam this weekend, today or tomorrow, the District Pub and Kitchen West, 3233 North Mesa, is your perfect spot before and after the big Monster Jam this weekend. And by the way, they've got the big fight tonight. Davis is back in the ring, and it's going to be a big one here tonight. Gervonta Davis, Lamont Roach. It's going to be at all three locations at the district. No cover charge. So if you're looking to watch the big fight tonight, the PBC, go check it out at any of the locations off Airway or off Piedras. That's the District Pub and Kitchen, and they've also got the one right here by the university. Hey, also shout out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk as we wind it up here on the show. They got 15 locations at El Paso and Las Cruces. They're open 365 before and after every game, and of course they're open 7 days a week here in El Paso, Las Cruces. That's Jack in the Box, the presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk. That's going to do it for us here on the show. For George Wajardo, though, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We'll be back in action next week and talking some more UTEP hoops here on another edition of Minor Talk on 600 ESPN El Paso.